The body of Christ has been going through a war with jealousy, and we need to know that we are fighting, what we are fighting and how to fight it. Father, we just thank you for everything that you're about to do. We pray that the hearts and the minds would be receptive and open to the things that you're showing us in the spirit realm. We invite your Holy Spirit to come into this teaching and even deeper into our hearts as we go forth now. Father, we release your holy angels now to break up the fallow ground, to cause a deep understanding to take place, and even to attack all spirits of deception that are sitting in and on your body of Christ. Father, we just love you and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the body of Christ has been going through a war with jealousy, and we need to know what we are fighting and how to fight it. You can't fight something properly until you understand it from all sides. You ask any soldier and they study their enemy, and the body of Christ needs to start doing this. We need to start understanding what our enemy is doing to us and sometimes through us, unawares. The soldiers have their mind trained to recognize every detail in regards to what the enemy looks like, acts like, and how the enemy functions. I'm bringing this out because if you don't understand that there is a jealous nature to God, you will assume that something is ungodly if you're not walking in the Spirit. So by me illustrating this today and showing you his nature, you're going to be able to see that when people are walking in jealousy, it's a perversion of the character trait that God has. And that needs to be twisted back around and put back in the right direction. Jealousy in itself denotes having possession of something. God possesses us, so he can be jealous over us because if you've given your heart to him, if you're serving him, you are his possession. You belong to him. This is going to manifest itself in a couple of different ways. When the enemy comes against you and he comes to fight against you and attack you, God says, that's my son, that's my daughter, take your hands off of them. So his anger rises up, his jealous nature rises up, and you see him come and protect you. If you're walking on the side of the enemy, the gifting that you see in somebody else will cause you to be jealous and angry at them for their gifting, and you shouldn't be. So that side and that nature needs to be crucified, put under the blood of Jesus Christ, and even get an exorcism done to get rid of the jealous nature, the jealous side of you. The quickest way to shut the enemy down is to be in the Spirit and listening for the Father to tell you what to do. For example, the body of Christ, for some reason, is deeply afraid of Jezebel. We are not, but the body of Christ is, in all of her cohorts. We shouldn't be afraid of any spirit because God has given us all power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. We know that we have all power and authority in Christ, so when a Jezebel attack comes, we take it seriously, but we're not afraid of it. We know that if we locate and identify the Ahab spirit and who it is operating through, if we take it out in the spirit, Jezebel cannot destroy us or what God is doing through us. So these are things that we've studied the enemy in this area. We know what he's doing, and we know how to defeat him in this particular area. So when God alerts us prophetically, Jezebel's after us again, automatically know this is something that we start looking for. Understanding this, you can see that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and tearing down principalities and powers and every high thing that exalts itself against our God. Am I making sense to everyone? So when we look at jealousy, we have to understand it. That the jealousy that is going on in the body of Christ against the body of Christ is a perversion, a twisting of the jealousy of God. When we look at jealousy, we have to understand that the jealousy that is going on in the body of Christ against the body of Christ is a perversion, a twisting of the jealousy of God. You don't own someone else's gift. You can't be jealous of it. You don't own someone else's talent. You don't even own that person. They are a gift that God has given to the body to be used by the body as God sees fit. So when you rise up in this jealous anger that's there, you're doing something that's contrary to your nature, to God's nature, because you don't own it. You don't have legal rights to that person, that gift, so you're out of order. As we go through this teaching, you will see and understand that jealousy is a character or attribute of God the Father. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to go through verses 15 to 24 in the New King James Version. Mine had a subtitle of Beware of Idolatry. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. Verse 20, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people and inheritance as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. This is Moses speaking. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess that good land. Verse 23, take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. Verse 24, here it is, the crux of everything that we're seeing. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. If you look at the complete list that Moses gave, he dictated and told us how to stay away from being in idolatry, worshiping something more than God, loving something more than God, putting it in God's place. We know strictly, forbiddenly, that we are not to do that. When we get into those forms of idolatry, that arouses the fire, that arouses the anger of God, and it provokes him. It provokes him to come after you. It provokes him to allow curses to come down upon you because you're not serving him with all of your heart. You're not agreeing to the promise that you gave to him. Here I am, Lord, use me. Or here I am, I give my life to you. I'm going to serve you. So you made that commitment. He said, yes, I hear it. I'll receive it. You become his possession. So when you step outside of the realms of this is where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do, and I'm going to honor something above God, you're causing him to be angry with you. You're causing that jealousy that's inside of him because he owns you, you're his possession, to rise up and come to the forefront. This is Moses giving instruction to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. He is telling them to be watchful of the things that they are doing because God is watching them. He goes on to say that because God was angry with him, Moses, he could not go into the promised land. This was a warning to not encounter this nature of God because it would have consequences to it that they, the children of Israel, would not be able to handle. When you look at the Hebrew word that denotes anger in verse 21, it is anaph, A-N-A-P-H. Looking in the Strong's exhaustive concordance, anaph is be angry, displeased. And the root of that is to breathe hard, be enraged, be angry, displeased. So here it is in Scripture that God was angry with Moses. A part of that word anaph is aph, A-P-H, and is Hebrew word 639. The Strong's exhaustive concordance, angry, before, countenance, face, forbearing, forehead, long-suffering, nose. From those words, they derive properly the nose or nostril, hence the face, and occasionally a person, also from the rapid breathing and passion. Look at Psalms 38:1. This is David. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor discipline me in your burning anger. This is what he was saying. David had it right when he asked God to not rebuke, discipline him while he was in his burning anger. Because who can survive that? Nobody. Nobody. But David had an understanding that he was God's possession, and he had a right to be jealous over him. Do you understand that this morning? Because that's crucial to you staying out of sin. That's crucial to you staying in the position that God wants you to be in the prophetic, in the healing, in the ministry, in the gift that he has for you. Because if you don't understand that, you'll walk out here and do something and not understand that you just open a door for a curse to come down upon you. You open a door for a demon to come into you because God has let himself go against you. You provoked him. For those of you who are unaware, God gets angry. God has a nature and a character that is holy, and because of that character, when things are not as they should be, he gets angry. Moses was warning the people to not get caught up on this side of God. He didn't like it, and he knew that they would not like it. The nature of God is to be jealous. Looking at Deuteronomy 4:24 in the Amplified Version, I like how this spells it out and makes it a little bit even clearer. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous, impassioned God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely his. Demanding what is rightfully and uniquely his. I honestly don't think we comprehend this verse in its depth. I feel that the body of Christ has become so disconnected from the fear of God that they really do not connect with the truth that is in the Word, that God is passionate, and because of that passion, he gets angry. There has been a lot of work done by the enemy to conceal this truth to the body of Christ and to the world, the truth that God gets angry. I cite the increase in people needing deliverance, exorcisms, performs. If there were a true fear of God, if there were a true understanding that God gets angry at sin, I would say that over 50% of the deliverance ministry would disappear because people would not be willingly walking into things that they shouldn't be walking into. So many people think that they can keep on sinning and keep on sinning and not reap the consequences of that sin. This is a falsehood. This is not based in reality. The reality is that people sin because they want to. You have to understand this as a Christian. You have to understand this as a person whom God has called to minister to other people. You're leaders. Everyone in here is a leader. So you have to be based and rooted in the truth. You can't even let deception rule and reign in your own heart, because you have to be able to see clearly to lead the people. The blind lead the blind and they both fall in a ditch. If you're blind, if you're permissive, if you're allowing certain things that you know the scripture says not to do, you're going to cause people to go in the wrong direction. If you're walking in the truth or a false truth that God doesn't get angry, you're going to allow for things inside of your walk and the people that you're training to not be right. Let's look at this Elaine from Dr. Rebecca Brown. She was a witch that Dr. Rebecca Brown had God led her and taught her about deliverance, how to do deliverance, how to perform deliverance on Elaine. In one point in the storyline, Elaine, from Dr. Rebecca Brown's book, He Came to Set the Captives Free, said that she let the demons in and out of her, and when she didn't want them to come into her, they could not. This was a practicing witch. This is what she said. She had the power and authority to do this. She wasn't even saved. Let that sink in. What's going on with the Christians? You're letting these things come in, and they don't need to come in. Understanding that you don't have an understanding that you are someone else's possession. You are God's possession, and you are provoking his anger to come after you. You're provoking his jealousy to come after you and destroy you. She was deep into witchcraft and was refusing the demons to come into her when she was not saved. If she could do it when she wasn't saved, what's wrong with us Christians? What's wrong with us Christians? Simple. They like to sin, and they like to have demons in them. Bottom line. Remove the deception from your life. The nature of God is to be jealous. And we see here in Deuteronomy 4:24, that is being compared to a consuming fire. If you've ever seen a fire, when it's really going, nothing can stop it. Look at what just happened in Canada. A good portion of that area burned to the ground. People lost their homes. I'm not sure if there was loss of life, but that fire got raging and got going. Imagine when God gets angry and there's no repentance. There's not even acknowledgement that you did anything wrong. Parents see this a lot with their children. You know, caught red-handed, got the video camera, got the evidence, all online. You know, it's here. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It was somebody else. No. Imagine how God feels. He has all of these angels. He has his Holy Spirit reporting back to him saying, this is what's going on. And then God remembers the times that you got in your prayer closet and said, Lord, I'll do anything you want from me. I'll serve you with all of my heart. Then he has to come back and receive word from his angels, receive word from his Holy Spirit, that you're not honoring the commitment and the agreement that you made. You're inciting that jealous nature that's inside of God. Have you ever seen someone in anger? This isn't even close to God, but look at them. Their nostrils flare. Face changes color. They huff like a dragon. They can't even think straight. They are totally taken over by that anger. Imagine God in this state. That's horrible. This is what this word jealous denotes in the scripture. Being that angry. Now, Deuteronomy 4:24 cross-references to Exodus 25. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, you shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous and passionate God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely mine, visiting, avenging the iniquity, sin, guilt of the fathers on the children, that is calling the children to account for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Now, jealous is this Hebrew word 7067, which is pronounced kanal, jealous. This is derived from kina, which is pronounced kinal, ardor, zeal, jealousy. From here we get kina, which is pronounced cow now. The Strong's exhaustive concordance says it's to be envious, be moved to, provoked to, jealousy, very zealous. A primitive root to be causatively, make zealous, in a bad sense, jealous or envious. Be envious, be moved to, provoke, and jealous. When we put all of this together, we get a picture of what God is really like when he's in this jealous state. We can see that God is moved with passion and moved by his passion for us to stay committed to him. Jealousy in God, when aroused, can cause God to be provoked to anger. God can be provoked by our sin, by our unfaithfulness to him, and then jealousy moves him to act. Let's look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 19. Then Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord if you serve any other gods. For he is a holy God, he is a jealous God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely his. He will not forgive your transgression of his law or your sins." We don't like to talk about this amongst ourselves, but God has an expectation that we are going to do what's right. Simple. He expects us to do what's right. He expects us to grow. He expects us to get deeper in the Spirit day by day by day by day. If you look at the scriptures, Paul, all of the other apostles, they were hard on those Christians who stayed drinking the milk. They didn't play around with them. John the Baptist didn't play around with them. He openly cursed the religious people, called them brood of vipers, because they knew what they were supposed to be doing, but they refused to do it. They refused to go deeper. They refused to go to the place that God had ordained for them to go into. It's the jealousy. It's the jealous nature of God. God has an expectation that we're going to be faithful and committed to him. He demands what is rightfully and uniquely his. It would be wrong of us to ignore God when he requires something from us. This will provoke his anger and hot displeasure. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 17. This had a subtitle of Obey God and Prosper. Now this is the command, the statutes and the judgments, precepts which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, so that you might do, follow, and obey them in the land which you are crossing over, the Jordan, to possess, so that you and your son and your grandson may fear and worship the Lord your God with awe-filled reverence and profound respect, to keep and actively do all his statutes and his commandments, which I am commanding you, all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, listen, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in numbers, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, the only God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, your entire being. These words which I am commanding you today shall be written on your heart and mind. You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truths. Penetrating their hearts with his truths. And shall speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, forearm. And they shall be used as bands, frontals, frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 10. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore, solemnly promised to give you, your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with great and splendid cities, which you did not build, and houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns, wells, which you did not dig out, and vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant, and you eat and are full and satisfied. Then beware that you do not forget the Lord. Do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. out of the house of slavery. All of us have been through mighty exorcisms, mighty deliverances. God is saying to us, don't forget everything that he delivered us from. Don't forget those things. Don't go out there and become cocky, prideful, you know, full of yourself and think, all right, I'm clean now, I'm free, I don't need God anymore. I don't have a responsibility to do anything else to him, for him. That's not the truth. You do have a responsibility. He expects you to honor your commitment that you made to him. Give back. Give back to him. This is your reasonable service. It's not just get free and just sit around and not do anything. It's not just get free and just enjoy the benefits of being free. Go and help someone else. Go and do something for the Father. But whatever your commitment was, honor it. If not, you're provoking God's jealousy to come against you, and you're opening the door for more spirits to come back into you. Verse 13, you shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall serve him with all filled reverence and profound respect, and swear oaths by his name alone. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. For the Lord your God is coming, for the Lord your God is among you, is a jealous and passionate God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely his. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled and burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the earth. Verse 16, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep foremost in your thoughts and actively do the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. When you get right down to the nuts and bolts of this, God, because of his love for us, he is passionate over us. It's not just a lazy commitment that he makes. Well, I'm just going to grant him salvation today, and it doesn't mean anything to me. Just go out there and do whatever you want to do. I really don't care. No. No. He owns us. He owns us. And there's an expectation that he can do with us whatever we want. We take this on the side of, you know, all of us are going through different trials and tribulations at this given point in time. God could stop those at any point, at any time he wants to. He really can. But because we open our mouths and say, here I am, Lord, use me. Do what it is that you want to do in me to clean me up. Do whatever you have to do to take me to the next level. God has all of these, has allowed all of these things to befall our lives. Sometimes there's things that we do to open the door for it, and God still allows it. But then there's some tests and trials that God puts us through on purpose. This is in the Word. Look at Isaiah 53. It says it pleased him to bruise Jesus. He got pleasure out of that. Now, if you think that's strange, I don't know what to tell you. Because it's the character and the nature of God to do that. It's not for us to judge him and to say, well, you shouldn't be doing this and everything should be going good for me all the time. You're his. You have no right to say that. If you're truly his, you're going to say, yes, Lord, whatever I have to go through, whatever I have to endure, I will do it because I love you. That's what it's all about, your love for him. You know, if nothing ever good happens in your life, are you still going to love the Father? Are you still going to be dedicated and committed to him? There's people right now, they're dying. They're dying, they're losing their fingers, they're losing their kids right in front of them. Because people are walking up to them saying, do you love Jesus? And they say, yeah, okay, you're gone. What kind of commitment level do you have? And if you don't understand, you know, we are in a major, major prophetic season right now. with all of the stuff that's going on with our election in the United States, now is the time to get as close to God as you possibly can get. Because when your next president comes in, you think things have been going down now, they're going even further down. It's not going to get better. And there's a lot of false prophecies going on out there again, saying that America's going to be great again and all of this. No. We are being judged for the sins that we have committed against God. The church is being judged for the sins that we have committed against God. And we got to wake up. The remnant has to wake up. The remnant has to understand this is a major prophetic season in God. Everything is shifting to the Middle East. Sorry. It's shifting over there. If you don't see what's going on with Syria and Damascus and all of that, we're not it. The power has shifted to that region. Take the deception off of your eyes. Please. On behalf of God, please remove it from your eyes so that you can see what's going on. God expects us to be faithful to Him. You don't look at this, but the reality is that He has invested a lot in us. I deeply believe that we are about to experience one of the greatest moves of God ever to face the earth. And because of these different signs that are going on, this is the real reason why we're experiencing all the warfare that we're experiencing. Because the devil wants to say, God is not protecting me, He's not helping me, He's not giving me this, He's not giving me that, He's allowing me to suffer. If you really look at this in the right way, in the right frame of mind, He's preparing you so that when the real suffering hits, you're going to be able to endure it. You're going to look at this like this is nothing. And you're going to be able to help the rest of the body of Christ because you're like, I've been through this. This really isn't anything. Bring on the war and the worst destruction and the suffering. But if you don't start preparing your heart and tricking your mind now to understand that God is doing this for a purpose to make us stronger, you're going to be looking at Him, raising your fist at Him and saying, how dare you? I dare because you're mine. I dare because I'm trying to help you be prepared for what's coming. And what's coming is not good. It's not good. I can't over... It's been prophesied for years, and the churches went back behind and said, nah, it's not now. It's going to come 5 years from now. 5 years from now. It's here. Come out of the deception, please. When you make a covenant with someone, you expect them to fulfill their part of the agreement. When they don't, there is problems. When you make a covenant with someone, you expect them to fulfill their part of the agreement. When you don't, there is problems. If you promise to only have eyes for one person, and then you start having eyes for 20 people, that's a problem. You promise to be faithful. You promise to be committed. The same promise that you made to God, He expects us to keep ours, our end of it. God, I'm only going to love you. Only you. You have that special place in my heart that you belong in. I'm going to keep you there. When we start deviating from that, here comes the jealousy from God. If God did to us what we did to Him, if God did to us what we do to Him, I could not imagine. A definition of jealous can mean intolerant of unfaithfulness. God deserves for us to be faithful to Him. He is a God of His word. What He says He is going to do, He does. Doesn't matter what our timing is. Doesn't matter what we think. His yes is yes. His no is no. What is yours? What is yours? Is it really yes? We need to hone and make our character be exactly like God's character. Anything less would be wrong. Now, in doing research, I found some different names of God, and we all know, you know, there's many, many characters, different attributes of God, and I look forward to, in eternity, finding out all of those characters. But I picked some out today to be able to share with you. El is God, and it's mighty, God the mighty, strong, prominent, and it's used 250 times in the Old Testament. El is linguistically equivalent to the Muslim Allah, but the attributes of Allah in Islam are entirely different from those of God of the Hebrew in us Christians. Excuse me. Thus, the only thing shared is the root of the word in ancient times. This name reminds us of God's might and strength. When we feel alone and frustrated, we have a God who is there, able and willing to lead us to the promised land. The next one is El Ha-Ne-Eman, the faithful God. This is out of Deuteronomy 7:9. Everything God says and does is 100% reliable. He is completely trustworthy. So do you really trust him? Really? Do you through all things at all times? El Olam, the God of eternity, or the God of the universe. God is eternal. He is the maker of time, space, eternity, and the universe. He is without beginning and without end. That's powerful just by itself when you sit and think about that. No beginning, no ending. The devil was created. He was created. He's not equal to God. Please get that in your spirit. He has a beginning and he's going to have an end. But God will still be going on. Which one do you want to serve? The one who's going to have an ending, or the one who doesn't have an ending? We made a commitment to the one who does not have an ending or a beginning. He has a right to be jealous over us. El Amet, the God of truth. God is the source of ultimate reality. Everything connected with him is true and real. The answer to all of the philosopher's quests is truth. Develop a hunger for the truth, no matter how painful, no matter how ugly. Develop that, because that will keep you in this hour from being in deception. And deception is running rampant all over the place. And it's really bad in the body of Christ, because the members of the body of Christ think that there's something that they're not. They think that they have all of these abilities and gifts and talents that are they're not. They don't understand that they have a sin nature that is destroying them, and they think that they're fine. And it's all deception, because they don't want to hear the truth. If you don't understand what's going on with this transgender thing about I was born a man, but I'm really a woman. That's deception. There's churches that are saying, all right, we want to embrace these people. Wonderful. But don't change the truth of God for a lie. Embrace them, get them delivered, and get them set free. That's what needs to be done. Not embracing them and changing the Bible and saying, well, this is wrong, the Bible is wrong. Anybody that says the Bible's wrong, please put a flag up and listen very closely to everything they say for the rest of your life, because there's something off. You start challenging and saying that the Bible was written wrong, they didn't translate it right, please be aware of what they're saying, because there's little twists that the enemy does, and they'll take you down a road that you don't need to be on. El Emunah, the faithful God. Another attribute or characteristic of God, faithful. Deuteronomy 32:4. God is completely reliable. You can trust him completely in this life and with your eternal destiny. Elkanah, attribute of God, the jealous God. And we started out with this Deuteronomy 4:24. God is extremely protective towards his people and doesn't want to share our praise and devotion with other gods. His very name and character is jealous. Exodus 34:14. How do you spend your devotions and time? Do you spend it worrying about your problems, worrying about your lack? That's not really focusing in on God. Isaiah 42:5-8. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its produce, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I am the Lord. I have called you the Messiah in righteousness for a righteous purpose. I will also take you by the hand and keep watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, Israel, as a light to the nations, Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who sit in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved idols. We cannot take the place of God. When you look at this passage in Isaiah, you can see that there is an extreme dedication on the part of God towards his servant. Even though it may not feel like it, God has an extreme dedication to us. He loves us. He knows what we can take. He knows what we can't take. He knows how strong we are. So never for a moment forget those other words that we read, that he's faithful, that he's watching over us. But he's also a jealous God. So you're going to stay in a place of protection. He is watching over his servant. He does not want you to fail. He's not going to allow you to fail. He doesn't want you to fall. He wants us to be successful in that thing, that mission that God has for him. You can't stop this part of God. How he wants us to be, how he wants us to be this committed to serving him as much as he is committed to watching over us. We've got to step up our level of serving him to match the level. We'll never be able to match it, but we need to get that intensity, that jealous love that he has for us. We need to, in turn, put it back towards him to guard our hearts from all sin and all degradation, to guard our hearts from all worldliness, to have that level of passion about Christ. That we have to keep stirring it up. We have to keep pushing that forward in the spirit and allowing for God to move us and to take us to this next place. I want to read one more. Nancy, can you go down to Ezekiel chapter 8? Then I'm going to close. This is again, scriptures that are related to God's jealousy and how he saw the different things that his people were doing, but because they were his possession, it provoked anger to come up from him. This is Ezekiel chapter 8. It says, vision of the repulsive acts in Jerusalem. It came about in the sixth year of the captivity of King Jehoiakim, on the fifth day of the sixth month, as I sat in my house near Babylon, with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell on me there. Then I looked, and behold, a likeness of a man with the appearance of fire. From his loins downward he was like fire, and from his loins upward he had the appearance of brightness, like gleaming metal bronze. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of hair on my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner courtyard, where the seat of the idol, image of jealousy provokes to jealousy, was located. And behold, the glory and brilliance of the God of Israel, who had loved and chosen them, was there, like the vision which I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, now raise your eyes toward the north. So I looked toward the north, and behold, to the north of the altar gate was this idol, image of jealousy, at the entrance. This is in the house of God. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great repulsive acts which the house of Israel is committing here to drive me far away from my sanctuary. But you will again see greater repulsive acts. Then he brought me to the entrance of the courtyard, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. He said to me, Son of man, now dig into the wall. And when I had dug into the wall, behold, there was an entrance. And he said to me, Go in and see the wicked, repulsive acts they are committing here. So I entered and looked, and saw every kind of creeping thing and beasts and loathsome things, and all the idols of the house of Israel, carved all around on the wall. Standing before these images were 70 elders of the house of Israel, and among them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe. Each man with a censer in his hand, and a thick and fragrant cloud of incense was rising, as they prayed to these gods. This is idolatry going on in the Holy of Holies in the house of God. Then he said to me, Son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Each man in his secret room of carved images, for they say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has abandoned the land. He also said to me, Yet again you will see even greater repulsive acts which they are committing. Then he brought me to the entrance of the north gate of the Lord's house, and behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. He said to me, Do you see this, son of man? Yet you will see greater repulsive acts than these that they are committing. So he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the bronze altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were bowing down toward the east and worshiping the sun. He said to me, Do you see this, son of man? Is it too slight a thing for the house of Judah to commit the repulsive acts which they have committed here, that they have filled the land with violence and repeatedly provoked me to anger? And behold, they are putting the branch to their nose. Therefore, I indeed will deal in wrath. My eye will have no pity, nor will I spare them. And though they cry loudly in my ears, yet I will not listen to them. These are the things that are going on in the house of God by the leaders of God in the church. And it's causing God's jealousy to be stirred up. It's causing God's jealousy to be provoked. There is no reason in the world for these things to be going on. There's no reason in the world for the prophetic church to be doing the things that they're doing today, knowing all of the signs that God has spoken and prophesied, knowing all the prophetic words that God has said that this was going to happen in the end time hours. It is important, number one, if you don't get anything out of anything that was said today, that you realize you are a God's possession. He owns you, and he has a right to do with you whatever he wants to do. The good thing about this is that because he owns you, if you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, there's no problem. You know, you don't have to be concerned about calamity, accidents, hurting you, because God is going to set it up so that it will bless you and cause you to prosper in the end. If you don't have to be concerned about a demon coming and attacking you and taking you out, because God is there saying, this is my son, this is my daughter, you can't have them. You can't keep them in bondage. You can't keep them from going forth. The things that God has spoken over you prophetically, hold them close. Don't let them go. Fight with all of your might to do the things that God is asking you to do, because they are going to come to pass. They are. Don't lose hope. Don't lose sight of what's going on. No matter what you hear, no matter what the enemy comes and says to you, because God is a jealous God, and he loves you that much that he's going to make sure he's watching over his word to perform it. If you got a true word from God, if he spoke it definitely from him, it's going to come to pass. You just have to be patient and just wait. Father, I just thank you for this understanding, the greater depth and knowledge that you're trying to bring your body of Christ into on jealousy and how much you really do love us and care for us. And Father, I pray that as we go forth, that the anointing that you've ordained for us to walk in and to be in this hour would magnify itself and it would fall upon your people. And Father, we just give you honor for this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.